Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody. It's good to be back after we have some football underneath our belt. Again. Man, what is going on?
I'm awful at this.
Who's that producer? Who's that producer you hired?
It's not me.
But
what producer? How do we have producer money?
Well, I mean, with this type of budget, we should.
We have AM radio budget, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
Smaller than AM.
Yeah, much less than. Less than, not equal to. But we have actual football to discuss, not just...
Nothing but football to discuss.
What may happen, what could happen.
What did happen.
Yep.
What will happen.
For those of y'all who didn't know, we do an instant reaction podcast after every game. There's one up on wherever you catch your podcasts for the Montana State game, so we won't be going super in-depth on that one.
But you should subscribe.
Sure.
Whichever podcast service you use. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean.
Spotify.
Yeah, we're on Spotify.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're on Spotify, too. I don't know if we've ever told anyone that, but we are.
I think we did when we first linked that account.
Because it was new and exciting.
Hashtag worldwide, baby.
But yeah, find us on Twitter, at 23personnel.
Two N's. Two yes. N's, one L.
Yeah, I have to remind myself how to spell it every time.
So it's at 23personnel, P-E-R-S-O-N-N-E-L.
Yep. Spencer is at punts suck. That's with two S's. Because punts suck.
They do.
For the most part. Except when they're strategically placed. Like a Dixon punt in the between the 4 and the 3 yard line.
Why are we talking about Longhorn?
Well, because he was really good at punting. And then I'm Michael at What did I do? At Michael underscore LBK.
And we are the 23 Personnel Podcast.
Yeah.
In case this is your first time listening, I don't know. We've never actually... welcomed new listeners.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like.
I hope we have some new listeners, and maybe some of you guys will stick around and hang with us as we continue through the slog of the Big 12 schedule.
Yeah.
And we'd like to do a quick shout out. Friend of the show, Rob Bro, who we...
I'm wearing his hat right now.
Yeah, you are.
Not his hat, but his...
No, you stole it from his truck.
Yeah, I did.
Just took it out
his,
of there.
His show's logo... is on this hat.
It's a great hat. White hat, mesh. It's got the rope on
the
front.
It's a trucker hat.
Yeah.
It's really sharp. It's made for men. Like, this cap is large. Mostly snapback caps, I have to, like, on the last one or two snaps. This one, I've got, like, four.
This one, I had to...
Nice.
I had to do the overlap thing where I couldn't even do just the regular size. I had to go the one notch over.
Oh, gosh.
Kind of made me feel... I didn't feel like the girth of my head was manly enough.
Well, I've got a lot of hair underneath this too.
Oh yeah, just rub it in.
That's by choice though. You shave. I want to see what it looks like if you can grow it out.
We're talking right. Terry Bradshaw power donut. If I grow it out,
power donut. All right. So sorry, you were saying friend of the show, Rob Bro.
Yeah, he was in Odessa on Friday for. Which game did he do play-by-play for? Do you remember? One of the Lubbock teams.
It's a Coronado.
Man, I knew whichever one I said
and
I was going to be wrong. Yes, whoever played the Odessa High Broncos. Friend of the show, Rob Bro, was there doing play-by-play and ran into
a listener
who actually knew Rob from our podcast. So
big
to that
time.
Listener in Odessa, thank you very much for listening. And we really appreciate it and hope you... tell a friend or two.
Yeah, actually, if you wouldn't mind like reaching out to the show, we'd love to hear.
Yeah,
like know who you are.
Yeah, send us hit us up in the DMs.
slide into the DMs.
Sure.
Remember, it's at 23 personnel.
Yeah, two N's, one L.
All right, let's talk about Montana State.
Okay.
There was a game this weekend.
There was?
We were both there.
Yeah.
It was your first time up in the press box. What did you think?
It's weird, right? But it's weird. I felt like I missed some things. I missed the game environment. I did not miss the heat. Mm-hmm. I did not miss the sun, but it's very, I don't want to say sterile, but that's kind of where my mind goes.
That's the word I was thinking, because you're so disconnected from the actual game. Like, you're there, you're watching the game, but like with the windows there and there are cracks, like it's open. You can hear stadium noise coming in from outside.
Right.
That you don't. You're not engrossed in that. You yourself are not cheering. So like you have to actively keep yourself reserved. Like you can't get excited about a big play, and you can't get down about a negative play that went the opposite, you know, the wrong way. So because you're trying to remain so separate yourself, like you separate yourself from the game. It's such a weird environment.
It is. I enjoyed it. I'm afraid that, of course, this may not feel this way as the games get a little bit more more interesting and probably more people are there. But I felt like it could, the newness of it could wear off pretty quickly on me. As much as I, not to complain by any means, because I enjoyed the free food. It was great. As I mentioned, I enjoyed the climate-controlled environment. It was kind of neat to just sit around and listen, and you would hear all these voices that you've heard on the radio for years just talking. Or, you know, Don Williams is sitting a row in front of you, or there's always someone around that you recognize or know. And sure, even in Lubbock, Texas, that's still kind of neat to run into people that are on TV or that are on the radio. So I enjoyed that, and I enjoyed the stats being fed to us as the game was going on. But I did miss quite a bit of the fun fan experience of the stands. And I want to go get one of those $8 beers, but you know, I probably shouldn't do that if I'm technically on the clock, you know?
Well, had we shown up a little bit sooner, we could have been happy hour.
Gotten a $5 beer.
$5, any beer, $5, yeah. Which I don't know if they're doing that for every game. It was in the press release for the first game, but it was from the time that gates opened until 30 minutes before kickoff.
Yep.
Was happy hour. They had $5 beers. Well, basically all alcohol they served was $5.
Yeah. I think even the wine was $5 as well.
And the premiums.
Sure.
Okay. Well, let's talk about like kickoff time and weather, because not that Texas Tech was in control of this at all, because it was put on TV and the TV, as soon as you relinquish control, like we want the game on TV, then the network decides when you kick off.
Yes.
So let's get this straight. Texas Tech did not have any choice in kicking off at 3 o'clock on a Saturday.
In August.
I don't know if the no reentry helped or hurt. Halftime crowd was light.
It was. They, you know, there were reports that ambient temperature in the stands was maybe 120s.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Something like that. from where we were, even inside, it looked so baking hot.
Oh, it looked miserable there. On the east side.
And it was extremely empty. But I'm not going to be one of those people that's literally looking down on on those who are leaving, because I saw when we left the game, there were so many sunburned people walking around.
I remember you would notice that.
There was, oh, I would. I'm always on red alert. But there was one girl who, you know, okay, some girls wear a lot of makeup. And so her face was kind of oddly still kind of white. But then she had this kind of halter top thing on. And it wasn't a halter top. It's whatever the shirt is that doesn't have a strap, a strapless shirt.
Hashtag fashion blog.
Yeah, I can tell y'all some fashion. But she was red as a beet from there up to her face.
And her jaw?
Yeah. I was like, oh boy, this is exactly why you might see some people take off.
So from the 23 personnel Twitter account, I posted a picture of the east side stands about halfway through the third quarter, which is what I said. I'm willing to bet you could probably have squeezed everybody on that side of the stadium into two full sections had you taken out all the empty seats between everybody.
Oh, and it got even more sparse after that photo.
So the third quarter, we're what, 2 hours into the game? So this is about 5 o'clock, hottest part of the day.
Yeah.
They've been baking in the sun at least 2 hours. The credit kickoff was fine. I had 20 people reply to this photo and get like super defensive.
Oh yeah. Said it without comment.
No, because I was just showing a picture. One, because I'm really curious to see how it compares to this weekend's game. It's a 7 o'clock kick. Halfway through the third quarter, if the stands look just like that, the weather's no excuse.
You're right.
There's a, well, it's the opponent then. Like, well, the opponent never mattered when I was a student. The weather hardly seemed like it mattered when I was a student. Like, the only thing that kept us out of games would have been like rain, but I don't think it rained at any of the games when I was a student. Like, it was like
very few times.
Weird, and like, we always caught, like, it was a good Saturday afternoon. So I don't know what it is that's causing light fans. It may be 10 years of just really crappy home performances, and playing UTEP is not going to fix that.
No. Because as we'll discuss probably very quickly, UTEP
may be worse than Montana State.
They're not that strong. They're not that strong, which I'm ready to talk about them if you are.
Let's do it.
All right, let's roll right into the UTEP preview. We've got, as Spencer mentioned, UTEP's coming into town 7 p.m. here at the Jones. It'll be on Fox Sports somewhere. I wasn't able to find an exact channel, but I'm willing to bet it's one of the ones with a mathematical sign at the end and or a direction.
It's probably Fox Sports Southwest Plus.
That would be my guess.
I'm willing to bet. Kickoff at 7 p.m., as Michael said. UTEP, not very good. 2017, 0-for. 0-12.
Yeah.
Last season, 1-11. But their one win was against... You have a 2-11, Rice. You meant like 2-10 or they played 13 games?
They played 13 games. I don't understand it.
Did they play Hawaii?
They played Old Dominion at the end of the year.
Oh.
Because I looked it up because I thought, well, surely I wrote that down wrong. But no, they played 13 games. There was no playoff, obviously, because there is no... I mean, they weren't... they didn't make the NC...
At two wins.
Yeah, they didn't make the playoffs.
Okay, so Rice, that 2018, UTEP went 1-11 with their one win against Rice. It was on the road. And then 2019, they barely eked out a win against Houston Baptist. I watched the highlights of this game. Houston Baptist like had a lead for a majority of the game. It wasn't like they had a big lead, but like they would take the lead and hold it for a while, and then UTEP would score and retake it, and then Houston Baptist would respond and hold it until like the very end. So they start the season 1-0. Hat tip to Rob Bro for this stat. That win at home was UTEP's first win in over 1,000 days.
Oh, wow.
Because I had to go back to 2016 for the last home win. Because they were 0-12 in 2017. They're 1-11 in 2018 with their one win being on the road. So I went at least two full seasons without a home win.
Well, and the stands were packed for, I would, they were packed for, you know, a couple of big emotional reasons. Obviously, the shootings in El Paso recently, I think this was kind of a way for the community to come together on that. And then the young man who died recently of cancer, Duke Laufenberg. Luke is obviously his name. Luke Laufenberg just died recently. And with those two kind of emotional things going on, the stands were packed. And I'm willing to bet this 34,646 that were reported for a UTEP's game, which is the largest for a home opener in 5 years, is probably very close to what Texas Tech had. Texas Tech may have been in the 40s. I heard on Casey Cowan's show today that it was announced in the 50s, like 52.
But, is that the number that I called on the show?
But somehow I missed that. Well, it was 52 and change. I forgot what he said. But while we were at the game, I completely missed what the...
I don't ever remember
attendance hearing announcement was. I don't remember hearing one either.
An official announcement.
But yes, they've had some adversity for sure on the football field. Have not won a lot lately. And as you mentioned, the game against Houston Baptist, it was back and forth, but it wasn't just back and forth a touchdown. They would go on 11-point runs or a 17-point run and kind of trade that way. And it even came down to, you know, UTEP only won 36-34, but Houston Baptist was driving with 6 minutes left and had the ball. Yeah, they had a ball. They had the ball in the red zone, and UTEP had a strip sack, recovered the fumble, and then ran the clock out.
Mm-hmm.
And when a team that rushes as much as UTEP does gets the ball in that kind of situation, and they're able to move it just a little bit, they can eat some clock.
So yeah, so from that game, UTEP had 508 yards of offense, which is a lot. That number surprised me. They had 240 rushing yards and 268 passing yards. They averaged 5.2 yards per rush. Defensively, they gave up 300 passing yards and 147 on the ground, again, to Houston Baptist.
Right, but those are pretty good. I mean, you know, 300 is probably a little bit higher than what you'd want, but
for UTEP, sure.
Yeah, I mean, to give up, yeah.
I'm sure that per game average is going to tick up a little bit this weekend. Mm. So after one game, I mean, it's hard to say, like, the UTEP offense is they run this much, they pass this much. And obviously, Houston Baptist is not an opponent that you can take a lot from as a scout. For like, it just, there's no comparison between preparing to play Houston Baptist than playing Texas Tech.
Yeah, like, that's going to be it.
I would assume UTEP is going to look a little differently. And they're going to respond differently. And Texas Tech is going to do things to UTEP that Houston Baptist couldn't do.
Would you still expect UTEP to run the ball as much against Tech as they did against Houston Baptist? Because they ran it, like you mentioned, they ran it for 46 times, only passed 20. So, you know, the ratio of runs to passes was 2.3. I mean, they ran it over twice as much as how often they passed it.
Being that their head coach is a former Bill Snyder assistant coach
And possibly player too.
Yeah.
He was with Kansas State for a long time.
I think they're going to try, but like in the Kansas State games of old where like you got a big lead, if they continue to run the ball as much and run as much clock, they were essentially defeating themselves because they were taking time away from their own offense to score and catch up. So I don't think they will, but only out of necessity. If they controlled the game, like, you know, if it was a close game or if they had a lead, I'm sure they would want to run the ball two times every time that they threw it. if not more, if the game against Houston Baptist is any evidence to what they want to do.
Right, right.
That would be
a more ideal scenario.
You'll see a 2.5-to-1 run to pass ratio this weekend.
I'm thinking you're right. They'll probably have to. They may start out really trying to run the ball and may not be able to get it going. Hopefully,
I mean
that's the plan for us.
If they have a start like Montana State and they have like several consecutive 3-and-outs,
right,
and they look up and it's 21-0 or 17-0, that game plan of running the ball may be like we're gonna hold off on that until we can get a little closer, and they may not.
Because Trayvon Hughes, their running back, those highlights. He was breaking tackles. He was running guys over. He's 6'1". He's 235 pounds. And
that's
UTEP,
a big dude.
UTEP finds these running backs that are just really great at bulldozing people over and breaking tackles. And he was really fun to watch. And if he gets some open space, he may be able to move around for sure. That's where Tech's got to be able to have their guys up front just plug every gap they can and really manhandle some folks, because I was a little bit shocked at, I didn't think about it while we were doing our instant reaction, but you know, UTEP this last weekend gave up 3 sacks to Houston Baptist
on 20 pass attempts.
Yeah. On only 20 pass attempts. They were able, you know,
well, hold on. That's 20 pass attempts. They probably were in 23.
Well, that's true. That's true. I'm sure he didn't. That doesn't count.
It doesn't count against Brandon Jones's completion percentage.
Right. And there wasn't enough film that I could see. And obviously, I'm probably not going to be able to break down too much film, but.
Nor do we care to.
With Jones, it wasn't clear if it was the line, the protection breaking down, or if he was rolling out of coverage or hanging onto the ball too long, or if the cornerbacks were, you know, doing a great job of covering the receivers and he had no one to throw to. But anyway,
I would tend to believe it was more on the offensive line, because Jones was the second leading rush.
Yeah. He
attempts
was.
Person on the team. He had 13 attempts. And I don't know if those were 13 called QB runs or if those were passes that he ran out of. But if he's running the ball 13 times and still getting sacked, it seems like that's more on them and him not being able to escape that.
Yes, it could be. And that's what I'm trying to get to is, you know, Tech only had 1 sack against Montana State. I'm hoping.
How many pass attempts though?
It was 24 or so. It was kind of comparable. So I'm hoping to see that number go up to at least 2 this week. I feel like Tech should be able to hurry him and kind of get him uncomfortable pretty easily. He's a senior, but I think this is only his second game that he started.
Yeah, and it's something I didn't mention the post game, but it was something we talked about leading up to the game, especially as we were looking at the new defense. And I said that your season sack leader would not come from your defensive line. It would come from one of your outside linebackers. But then we saw how much pressure the defensive line was able to create on their own. We saw Broderick Washington getting back there. I'm blanking on who the other person was. Was it
Howard, maybe?
Nick McCann.
Nah, I'm losing it.
The guy, Jalen Hutchings. There it is.
There.
Yep.
So Broderick Washington, Jalen Hutchings, and Eli Howard all had times in the backfield. So you would like to see one of those guys, you know, actually get to the quarterback and sack him, or cause enough disruption to let the rush end get in there. But yeah, you would think against a team like UTEP or Montana State, you'd be able to, you know, sack the quarterback more than once.
Right.
Despite them being a super heavy run team. Because 1 sack per 26 or 25 pass attempts is not really going to do a whole lot for you.
No, and this is a team that you should be able to get back there and really, really create. Those are words.
Those are all words. You're right.
But this is one of those things where we were talking about it before we recorded, I think. It all kind of runs together. Where there were some fans that were a little bit disappointed or let down with the score of the game, but they shouldn't be with UTEP. I believe that UTEP's going to be an inferior team to Montana State. Montana State is actually a pretty solid FCS team, if preseason rankings are to be believed. We'll see how it actually plays out. But UTEP is a team that Tech should really have complete control of, because as Wells mentioned in his presser today, he was kind of trying to dispel the rumor that he didn't want to start any that he only wanted to play as starters, or trying to come up with a good reason for it. And his reasoning was, well, we were only up 31-7, and then if that became 31-14, all of a sudden you've got a three score game on your hands into the third quarter. So he was trying to just come up with his reasoning for leaving starters in, and he didn't get anybody in there till the end of the game, really. But I wouldn't expect that to be the case this week. And if it is, I would be a little bit more concerned than I was this past week. I feel like Tech should be firmly in the driver's seat heading into the fourth with no questions asked. You know, maybe 42-7 or something like that going into the fourth, just trying to come up with something here, because I think that was what let people down, was they're used to seeing, you know, the last quarter is almost always going to be the backup quarterback. Sometimes even the third string quarterback gets in on there, but that's not how Wells is operating right now. And he was wanting to make dang sure he won his first game and nothing crazy happened, I'm sure. But I know everyone's also worried about Bowman's health and doesn't want to take any extra risks. And folks were a little bit surprised to see Tyner hop out there instead of Duffy, myself included. Mm-hmm. I really, maybe it was just because he thought Duffy had more game experience and wanted Tyner to get some, actually. I was a little bit surprised to see that, but I'm thinking this week there's a better chance that you're going to see a little bit deeper into the roster, and that'll be the plan, I think, from the get-go.
Yeah, I wish there were FCS to FBS comparisons, like, especially when you get down towards the middle back half of the FBS. Like, where do these top-tier FCS teams, like, fit in? Where would they fit in stats-wise? And, of course, you can't compare them apples to apples because of the competition that, you know, Montana State plays over the season doesn't really compare to the competition that, say, like a Boston College plays.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying those two are comparable, but like...
Well, they're not. That's the issue. You can't compare them.
You can't, because the schedule are just so different. But it would be really interesting to see, like, okay, where would a South Dakota State or James Madison fall in line in the FBS rankings? So then you can look at, like, okay, where was Montana State versus a UTEP?
Right.
Because as of this afternoon, the S&P rankings had not been updated yet. UTEP was picked 130th in the S&P rankings out of 130 schools. The absolutely worst FBS program. But you don't know where, like, okay, is the number one FCS team like 131? No, but it's right. really interesting to me to think about where they might fall in. I tend to believe Montana State is probably going to be a better opponent, a stronger opponent than UTEP will be this weekend.
That's what I'm thinking too. And we want to go into it like Coach Wells was saying earlier, that you want to prepare for them. That's how you respect your opponent, is you prepare for them and you get ready. But with that said, we have done a little bit of preparation on our end, and they've got a ways ahead. You know, maybe Dimmel will be able to turn it around, really get some things going for them, get some positive momentum in their direction. But yeah, this is the second game they've won since 2016. So it's a long road ahead. I don't think Tech should be on upset watch or anything like that on Saturday.
No. But let's look at what they did this past weekend. Brandon Jones, the starting quarterback, went 10 for 20. So he completed 50% of his passes, was sacked 3 times. So he had 268 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, That one touchdown was an 80-yard completion to...
Oh. I had his name on here. He only had two... He had a heck of an average because he caught that pass and one other
and
one.
One more, yeah.
I had it up here. And I'm completely...
Anyways.
Biffed on it.
And the running back, Trayvon Hughes, rushed 23 times for 150 yards, greater than 6.5 yards per carry. So you gotta watch out for that.
Trayshon Wolfe caught the 80-yard pass.
Two touchdowns, had a long of 32 yards. So that is still a fairly explosive run. I think that the definition for explosive run is like, especially if you're looking at like S&P is greater than 15 yards.
Yeah.
Whereas like an explosive pass play, there's so many PLs and Ps and plosives.
And just
yards.
Those highlights, I haven't gone through the actual drive summary, but just those highlights, I feel like we saw two or three runs that were close to 20 yarders or within 20 from him as well. So he's got some explosiveness. And as we said earlier, you've got to get two hands on the man because otherwise he's just going to blow past you.
Which is one thing I think I came away. One thing you can tell in a game against like a Montana State is your fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't a lot of solo tackles in the game this past week against Montana State. There weren't a lot of arm tackles. There weren't diving at feet. Granted, you're not stretching yourself to make a play against a lower tier, an FCS opponent. But it's great to stack those good fundamental performances as you start the season to prepare for stronger opponents down the road. So yep. You do that Montana State. You hope to do that this weekend against UTEP to get you ready for a Khalil Tate Arizona next week. And then in 2 weeks, Oklahoma. I mean, not that you're going to do much against Jalen Hurts if he keeps doing what he did on Sunday.
Yeah, that was that was a bit sobering. We talked about on Rob Bro's countdown to kickoff.
Well, then this idiot over here said, you know, he's not going to be like another, he's not going to be the third in a row Heisman Trophy winner, and he's not going to be number one overall pick. And then he goes out and has like 600 total yards by himself and six touchdowns. Like, well, okay, that was...
I can't remember...
I gave him like the bulletin board material.
Yeah, I
like,
can't remember...
This one radio host.
Some guy from Lubbock.
Yeah.
I think I was... Definitely not as... I don't remember what I said, but I don't think I went out on that far of a limb. I still thought he was still going to be good.
See,
because he had a lot of success at Alabama, despite...
I think you and Carson kind of like you were similar in your opinions in that he would be able to drive the bus. That is the Oklahoma offense.
Sure.
But like, dude, like he was driving
there
that
was some,
bus.
There was some crazy stat, and I can't remember what it was, but he did something that... It was only the second time it had ever been done, and the first time Johnny Manziel did it.
Johnny Manziel, yeah, it was
some combination of rushing yards and passing yards for I think your first start or your first start against a Power Five opponent, or it was kind of a
well, just like in baseball, if you make the stat specific enough, you can get down to like
yeah, it was
an N of one,
and I agree with that. It was very specific, but it was equally impressive. Because there was a lot of big numbers in that stat.
No, yeah, for sure. Like he had what 300 passing yards, 176 rushing yards.
Yeah, it was
that rushing
crazy.
Yard was like, was that the team or Hurts? No, that was Hurts. He had 176 rushing yards and three touchdowns each, passing and rushing. So no, you're not going to see that this weekend with Brandon Jones and Trayvon Hughes. You're not going to see it next weekend, but the point that I was trying to make is like you want to stack some of these. You want to build on your fundamentals as you prepare to play a person like a team like Oklahoma and Jalen Hurts. And you got an opportunity to do that against Brandon Jones and Trayvon Hughes this weekend.
With Jalen, I've found it. Oh, and then
okay, one
some
more time.
Some ad shifted my vision here. I'm trying to read it. Okay, it's the best statistical performance of Hurts' career. It's also just the second time in the last 15 seasons. Yeah, this is a lot of qualifications, but it is impressive. Wait for it. Hold for applause. Okay, it's also just the second time in the last 15 seasons an FBS passer threw for 300-plus yards, check, ran for 150-plus rushing yards, check, and had 6-plus touchdowns accounted for. And the other player to do it was Johnny Manziel. Not a bad start for Jalen Hurts' first game in Norman.
Which
had a lot of empty seats at the end of the game, by the way, because they did a big blimp view of the stadium probably halfway through the fourth quarter, and it was really empty, a lot emptier than this random screenshot someone posted in one of those Facebook groups I'm in. Talked about how nobody leaves Oklahoma games, but yeah they do. They leave in droves. Lots of people do this.
And it wasn't like they were up by 35 points. Like
no.
Tech was.
The game was still semi-interesting, which is why we still had it on TV.
They won by 18?
I think
or 17?
So.
Something like that. So I just remember this, and I'm sorry, like we're basically done with our football preview, but before we move on to questions and all that kind of stuff, we have to play our football intro music.
Oh man, I forgot.
Our football outro music, really, is what
all
it
right,
is now.
Hope you enjoyed football.
Welker takes it at the 11. He's going to try to get to the right sideline, breaks the tackle. He's got running room at the 30, the 35-40. He's the midfield, the 45-40. He may go. 25-10. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
Davis Webb, the freshman, screen underneath Derek Moore, breaks the tackle, still running up the sideline, turns on the juice, touchdown.
So Harrell in the shotgun from the 28. The throw goes to the right side for Crabtree. It's caught. He breaks.
Oh, he's going higher.
Touchdown, Red Raiders.
Unbelievable.
Touchdown, Red Raiders. Michael Crabtree has done it.
Let the scoring begin.
And Windows had to interrupt that.
That producer of yours.
I know.
What is going on over there?
Slacking. So, okay, my favorite audio clip from that whole thing is it's like a really low key. It starts real low key. It's Gus Johnson talking about Davis Webb dropping back and throwing a screen to Eric Ward.
Okay,
and then he breaks like a billion tackles and scores. That was a home game, so like that crowd noise is Texas Tech. Let me see if I can.
Is it one of the first ones you said?
No, it's heard from the
screen. Here's. Underneath Eric Ward. Breaks the tackle, still running up the sideline, turns on the juice, touchdown!
So it's been a while since the Joneses sounded quite like that.
Yeah, so like that was a home game, and I think it was a game against Oklahoma State when Davis was starting.
I thought you were going to say your favorite part of it was the dong of the missed field goal.
The missed field goal, which is also from a different Oklahoma State game.
That's I've enjoyed that one.
Because Matt Amendola, the kicker for Oklahoma State that night.
Amendola with two M's.
Did that twice. He missed field goals that night.
He was one of the most accurate kickers in college football.
Until that night.
I believe up until that point. I mean, really, I think it was one of those kind of broadcast jinx. I think they mentioned it a lot. And then
he missed one, and then he hit the upright with the other one. Dung.
Yeah.
Which is the best part. Like, they have such good like on-field audio for that game, and he hits the upright.
It's like a giant tuning fork.
Just so hard. I'm going to have to play it for you guys again, so I'm sorry. Okay, it's not this play, but the next one. Dung. Fantastic. Okay. Last thing before we move on to questions. If you don't already get enough of us, please tune in to the countdown to kickoff pregame show. It's on Talk 1340. You can find us on air at AM 1340 or 1340 AM. I don't know how AM station reads the KKAM 1340.
Yeah, KKAM 1340.
You can find it streaming online on the website or through the Talk 1340 app on your phone or smart speaker. I'm reading this promo that you wrote. Way to go.
Yeah, thanks.
Hosted by Rob Bro. Of course, you can follow him at Rob Bro Show. And then Carson Robinson at K-Rob. So K-A-R-R-O-B underscore radio. You can follow the station at Talk1340. And of course, our Twitter handles, which we will continue to give out because we like all the follows. At 23personnel, at puntssuck, at Michael underscore LBK.
And the show starts at 3 hours prior to kickoff. So this,
for most games, yes.
Yeah, for most games. 11 a.m. games, that could shift to 2 hours, but we'll just have to see. So the show will start at 4 o'clock sharp. Yeah, 4:05-ish probably on Saturday, 3 hours before the 7 o'clock kick against the UTEP Miners.
And it will go for 2 hours.
Yep.
So it gets you right up through the dinner hour for those tailgating. Put us on your speakers.
Sure.
Love to get more reports. We had a report from Briggsy saying that he was streaming the show from the Fraser past Saturday.
Mad respect.
Fantastic, especially since the FM station was broadcasting from the Fraser.
They were.
It would have been kind of funny if they were like holding up a speaker, like a loudspeaker in front of their stage or something. No, that's not what happened.
Here is talking about West Virginia for 10 minutes. And
dude, because they
Dana
almost
Holgerson's,
I almost want to like review the week that was in the Big 12 because it was pretty ho-hum, especially when you think about Iowa State needing 3 overtimes to beat a crappy Northern Iowa team.
Oh, how dare you?
Party like a Brock star? Whoa. Don't want that kind of party,
whoa,
apparently. James Madison, granted the number 2 FCS team, took, you know, West Virginia late to put that one away. TCU played the vaunted Arkansas Pine Bluff, barely beat them. I say barely. It was not very convincing. Baylor convincingly beat SFA, but like they're not even listed in the others receiving votes for the FCS, where mm-hmm. they have like 25 other schools receiving votes. I don't know if you've seen that list. It's extensive. They have like the top 25, and the others receiving votes is as long or longer than the top 25. FCA was not a part of that.
Kansas.
I think most impressively.
Squeaked by, I believe.
They did. They squeaked by Indiana State. I think the most impressive result from FBS-FCS matchups had to have been Kansas State taking it to Nicholls State. Because Nicholls State was also a pretty good FCS program, and I wasn't sure what Kansas State team we would see this year, but Kleeman coming from the FCS upper echelon, he probably knew how to handle an FCS team. But
K-State worries me. They
kind of do now.
They're going to have their stuff together by game 11 of the season when Tech plays mm-hmm. them.
And then, of course, you had the Oregon State, Oklahoma State. Which here's my real snarky on Twitter is like if somebody in a journalism or media position made the joke that OSU was going to win that game, you should lose your credentials or something like that. Oklahoma State beat them 52-36.
That sounds
something
right.
Like that, yep. On the road in Corvallis. Granted, Oregon State is rebuilding. they're trying to come back. Oklahoma State did still look pretty impressive. Spencer Sanders, Chuba Hubbard, going to be a dynamic 1-2 punch.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right.
Tylan Wallace turns out to be like the number one receiver. Going to be a triple threat there, a la Emmett, Aikman, and...
Whoa, Irving?
Irving, there it is.
The triplets. Well, that's... That is a bold statement to make.
Not that I'm saying they're going to replicate that kind of success. I'm just saying.
You just had my attention at Emmett and Aikman and Irving.
Texas beat Louisiana Tech, and then Oklahoma, like we just said, took care of Houston. So with that, because I don't really want to do any Big 12 review or preview, if you care about those things, there are podcasts for that.
Sure.
Not
sure.
This one. And the ESPN app. Let's get to your questions.
Now, are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Who's in the box? What's in the box?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Damn it! Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
All right. Let's do this.
You got the questions pulled up?
Working on it.
I've got one.
I was late sending out the call for questions.
I know, but we had four come in because these guys are tenacious.
So
everybody's ready to talk some football.
I actually had a question of a different podcast. I want to read it to you and see what you think.
Okay.
So the 10-12 podcast, it's a Big 12 football podcast. They had a Big 12 power rankings after week one. And I want to read that to you real quick. If I can find it, because I was distracted. Now it's buried on their feed. Okay. If you were to base everything off of just this week's performances, here is a 10-12 podcast week two rankings. 1, Oklahoma. 2, Texas. 3, Baylor. 4, Oklahoma State. 5, TCU. 6, Iowa State. 7, Kansas State. 8, Texas Tech. 9, West Virginia. 10, Kansas. So the first thing that caught my attention is like, why is Baylor number 3?
That was me too. I thought that should go to, and I had a good name. Oh, I thought that should go to Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking.
Just if you're just solely basing it off this week's game, it should go to Oklahoma State. That doesn't mean they're the third best team in the Big 12, but
my question to them is like, well, if
that's not what they asked,
if we're based off everything off of just this week's performance, quoting them, if you compare the competition between who Baylor played and who Texas Tech played a stronger opponent.
Yeah, I could see that.
They held into fewer points. Why is there such a big disparity? Why is Texas Tech 8, not 3? If everything is off of...
I think it's just because it's an FCS school. I think that's all they...
But they were both FCS schools.
But they're... I don't have good logic for why they picked
me
that.
Neither. And they liked my question, but didn't respond to it.
Okay.
So... if I were to base everything off of just this past week's performance, here are the 23 personnel podcast week two rankings.
Okay, let's do it.
1, Oklahoma. Yes. You agree? 2, yeah. Texas.
Yep.
3, Oklahoma State. 4, Kansas State.
Yeah.
5, Texas Tech. 6, Baylor. 7, TCU. 8, Iowa State. 9, West Virginia. 10, Kansas.
Those last three are kind of... I would almost put Iowa State further down. I would almost put them at 9.
In place of West Virginia?
Even though they lost. I mean, they won. Even though they won.
Well, they all won.
I know, but...
Big 12 was the only conference to go 10-0 this weekend, which everybody's making a big deal. I was like, well, have you seen the Big 12 schedule?
Yeah, there wasn't a lot.
It was pretty weak, except for Oklahoma. Oklahoma State, only two teams that played a Power 5 opponent that one. Sorry, no. Only Oklahoma State played a Power 5. Oklahoma played a group of 5. Texas played a group of 5. The other 7 teams played FCS.
I just was really... surprised at Iowa State not being able to do anything against Northern Iowa.
Northern Iowa.
That's why I would kind of place them.
So
because Kansas is Kansas, you know, you kind of know that's coming. We thought West Virginia was going to be bad this coming into the season, mm-hmm. and then we thought Iowa State, or I did at least. I think you had them going to the Big 12 championship game against Oklahoma, and I thought they'd be third or so. To finish and to triple overtime to beat these guys. I thought, ooh, if it's just by that game alone, I think I would have put them, I might have put them 10th.
Really?
Yeah. Because that's bad.
Yeah.
They were at home too, right?
Mm-hmm. So.
WTF, man. WTF, Iowa State.
I had the three teams that did not play FCS opponents first. I couldn't give Oklahoma State enough of a bump for playing a Power 5 versus Oklahoma just because of how impressive Oklahoma was. So I would still go Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma State. And that's the cutoff for non-FCS opponents for week one. Like, there's no disputing between 3 and 4. Like, there's no reason why a team should be higher than 4 if you played an FCS opponent this week. And in my mind.
I can see the logic there, I think.
So then I put Kansas State because I think they had a really impressive win against a higher ranked FCS opponent than you did, as Texas Tech, 4. Texas Tech at 5. Baylor at 6 because of how well they did against Stephen F. Austin, although Stephen F. Austin's pretty bad. Past Baylor, though, you get TCU, who was okay against Arkansas Pine Bluff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 7. And then you get Iowa State, West Virginia, Kansas, 8, 9, 10. In whatever order you want to put them. Sorry, so that was my tangent here before we jump into our actual questions. Okay, this may be my favorite question. Alan Corbin, he's a former Lubbock media person. I believe he was on the radio with, oh gosh, what is his name?
His dad works at Town Square. And I do believe he was on the radio before he moved to Utah.
Yeah, and he worked with, oh my gosh, what was his name? He works for McGavick now.
Oh, Fitz. Man.
I don't think it was
Fitz. No, Scott Fitz.
Fitzgerald,
yeah. Because he's on, we follow each other on Twitter.
Yeah. If UTEP were a food item from 7-Eleven, what would they be?
I have a good answer to you.
Not yet. You go first.
Okay, I'll go first because my answer is nachos. All right, you think about it. You want something covered in some sort of orange. And
I see where this is going.
And it's late at night. No other place is open that makes those really good nachos that you like. The ones that are, you know, they're individually handcrafted nachos with an individual jalapeno and a little daub of beans, maybe some beef, some cheddar cheese, set under a heat lamp or in the oven on this big plate that they have to warn you is super hot. So that's not available. But the next best thing is the 7-Eleven nachos, where you get your cold chips and then you hit the button
for the warm cheese,
for the dispenser to get the, you get the cheese to come out, and then you find the little package of jalapenos and you put that on there. So that's kind of what I think it is. It's not quite, it has UT in it, but it's not the same type of UT.
All right. I had to actually look up food items, hot foods at 7-Eleven sells, and there's not like a lot of great options.
No. I'm going to go confirm this from my days the in college.
Mini beef tacos, which look like they're corn tortillas that were folded over. It looks like a almost like an empanada, but they're real small. And I bet there's nothing but beef in it. So they're small.
Yeah.
They're disappointing. And there's a really poor facsimile for, shoot, how do I say this?
Yeah. How are you going to get out of this one?
For Mexican food.
Okay. Okay.
With UTEP being a border town, in a border town.
Well, they probably have great Mexican food though. They probably, I don't know where you're going with this,
but they're not Mexican.
It's not. Yeah. We could kind of almost go back to, well, it's an impression of,
it's an impression of, this is like
of this other school in Austin that happens to do certain things really well. And this one, not the same things. Well, other things. Well, I forget what, don't they have, I think they have a medical school there. They have a school in UTEP that they don't have.
I think Texas Tech has like one of their outreach,
maybe
medical
so.
School branches or pharmacy school branches there.
Somebody that UTEP has a branch of, anyway. Yeah, that's not a knock on UTEP or
no.
El Paso too much. Hopefully, guys, that was just kind of a fun question.
Tyler Timmons, I've seen the line as high as 35. So that would be Tech minus 35. Think Tech can cover that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
I was going to say yes too.
I think
you hit 35 versus Montana State. Again, until UTEP does something noteworthy, I still think they're worse than Montana State. This would be game two for you. Yes, that they got a win at home, but I think it was more of an emotional win, having that was their first home game. And they were dealing with the shootings over the summer and the loss of a teammate. I don't think they have that same kind of emotional fire for game two on the road against a Power Five opponent.
Right. And it's at night.
They squeaked by a poor FCS or NAI. I don't even know what division Houston Baptist is in.
I wouldn't know either.
But it's not going to be close. So I say yes, Tech will cover. Should we do predictions? Have we done a prediction yet?
Not an official one.
Let's do it here. Give me Tech like 55-10 or 7.
I'm thinking they cracked the 60s.
You think so?
Yeah. I'm thinking like 63 to probably, well, 10 sounds about right. I'll say 14 though. 63 to 14.
Okay. Kyle Jacobson. Matt Wallerstedt is on the staff at UT. Yeah, sorry, UTEP. Thoughts? Yes, that is my question. One, I think it's interesting because it goes back to, I guess, a conversation we were having in the Slack chat about Wells getting on to reporters and media members in the postgame about actually asking questions. Because there was one guy that was giving his opinion and didn't ask a question. And Wells is like, sorry, was there a question in there?
Yeah, he just kind of stopped talking. That was basically what he did. Just rambled for a little bit and stopped talking.
Well, here's the thing. Like, if you're going to do that, like, you got to end with, can you talk about, and then relate that something.
Which is still a terrible question. The talk about question is always.
Back about what you just said.
There were so many talk about questions in that press conference.
There wasn't a whole lot of questions.
Made me cringe. Yeah, because really, what? Well, the offense, I don't know. There's just only so much you can learn after a game like that. So there wasn't a whole lot of questions to ask.
So Matt Wallerstedt being on staff at the UTEP.
Boo.
Yeah, sure. Boo. He kind of crashed our defense. He can't do anything in terms of like scouting us because we no longer use his defense.
Or his signals or anything remotely close to that.
Or the offensive signals he was used to while he was here at Texas Tech under Cliff Kingsbury. It was just going to be fun to put up 55 or 60 points on him and be like, hey, man.
Yeah, and I forgot what his official role was. It was something.
It's probably some kind of analyst or something, like defensive analyst. Watch.
Yes, or a lineman coach, or it's not like he's the DC.
No, of course
by
not.
By any means, but
let's see. He
does do.
Defensive line. He's a defensive line coach for UTEP.
Defensive line coach. So
it's his second season, too. He's been there. He was there for the 111.
Yeah. That's right. 111 was last year.
So he will be taking over the defensive line this season. Last season, he was defensive quality control.
That's it. I knew I saw something a while back about that. Yeah, we can.
And in his bio, UTEP quotes the most useless defensive stat ever to prop him up.
I'm ready.
Last season, the Miners ranked 68th nationally in total defense.
Okay.
Whoopee, nobody cares about total defense. That means nothing. Like, you can't compare that to anybody. It's dumb. All right. We have to move on. We're, I think, officially 11 minutes behind.
We'll be good.
I don't have anything for going yards. That helps.
I don't really have anything I learned, so we've just got these two questions, and we can call it a day.
Fantastic. Red River Reset Man 84. Most surprising stat from the last game. Mine was only 4 penalties, closely followed by 255 yards rushing. Also, how about that defense? Very impressed by it. Gosh, I would have gone with either one of those two.
I've got two stats that were impressive. Texas Tech only allowed 8 first downs, which was really impressive, and one of them was on a fourth down fake punt trick play.
Mm-hmm.
So the defense only allowed 7 first downs, if you think about it. And then the
2 of them came on one drive.
Yeah.
Well, actually, 3 of those first downs came on the drive. It was the fake punt and then a long touch, long pass on sidelines. Stand corrected. 2 first downs because the next big play was a touchdown.
I think that was my surprising stat. And then one that we touched on earlier today was that Tech only had 1 sack. I was really hoping that they'd get to the quarterback a little bit more. Your thoughts? Thoughts on the...
I may not have gone with the 255 rushing yards. Like, looking back, it's almost like, did we actually do that? Like, it didn't... Having watched that game twice now, I still don't remember feeling like we ran all over them. it was like a very quiet 250 rushing yards. It's really strange. Cause I, not only did I watch the game live, I went back and watched the, or 245, whatever it is, minus the sack. I don't even know.
Oh no. Yeah, you're good.
I watched the condensed version of the game that the Big 12 conference put out on Sunday. It's all 95, every offensive play of the game.
So it was 95. Yeah.
Every snap from both teams was on there, and it was like a 35-minute video. The entire game, you could watch the entire game in 35 minutes. And what's interesting is that it didn't actually feel all that sped up on the Texas Tech offensive side because you saw it almost that fast in the game.
Yeah.
I would have to go back. You've already said it, though. I'd go back to the four penalties, one of them being almost intentional, that you committed three penalties. One was a kick out of bounds, one was a false start, and one was a blindside block, which was your first big opportunity to do that after the rule was changed. And on replays, like, that was as borderline as you could probably call it.
Could have gone either way.
He still hit him, he was in front of him when he hit him.
And the guy's head was turned towards the defender. Yeah.
So I would go with, I hate to like, you committed four penalties, but I'm actually going to only give you credit for three. Like, you committed three penalties.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then how about the defense? When you start the game with like seven of the first eight possessions, it's a three and out. And not only like just a punt, but a three and out. Like, that's stupid good. Very impressive. Still skipping. I love his new account name, 3.6 conference wins. Hi, I guess what I'm wondering most about the UTEP matchup is, do you think Jeffrey Epstein really killed himself? I'm not going to touch that one.
We've reached out to the professionals for comment, and in lieu of circumstances, we've decided not to comment so that we don't possibly end up in the same.
End up having committed suicide.
Yeah.
Without.
Yeah. Just throwing it out there. But either way, it's we're still awaiting confirmation from the powers that be.
And almost because I just want to play this, like, let's talk about what we learned.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either.
All right, so what did we learn? We learned, one, I don't know. You don't really get, there's really only one thing you can take from playing an FCS team, and that's if everything goes wrong, that it's going to be bad. If it goes as well as you expected to, or if you blow them out, it really means nothing. You don't learn anything from it. You may not learn anything from this weekend. We may have more fans disappointed by the final score than we did this past weekend. We didn't score enough. We didn't beat them by enough. That may turn out to be some kind of cue to how the rest of the season goes. We won't be able to tell that until the end of the year.
Yeah, it could be an isolated incident.
Right now, you're 1-0. You're undefeated. You have a matchup of undefeateds this weekend.
You do.
At 7 o'clock, it'll be already dusk by that time.
Yeah. It's a night game against two undefeated teams. Come out to the Jones.
The east side should be completely in the shade by then.
No.
At 7? Oh, yeah.
You think so? I don't know about completely. There might be some guys up in the rafters that are...
In the club level, maybe.
club level, they'll be fine.
Okay. So, Michael, I think it's time we just wrap it up.
Okay, I'm ready.
Sorry, I need to get to cover the intro to this song.
Oh, you got to get some hype in.
I did. Thanks for listening to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. Again, don't forget, if you haven't already subscribed, find us on all of your podcast catchers: iTunes, Google Play Music, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean. Subscribe, rate, that helps us show up in the search results. Follow us on Twitter at 23personnel, at puntsuck, at michael_lbk. Finally, there's so many like promos to do, selfless promotion here. Don't forget to catch us on the Countdown to Kickoff pregame show, Talk 1340. We will go on air at 4 p.m. this week, run for 2 hours, catch Rob Bro, Carson Robinson, myself, and Michael on there. Until then, thanks for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast.